Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved, and its host and founder is Carol Marks. Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. On today's program, we kick it off with Carol in conversation with Courtney Carver. She's written a book titled Soulful Simplicity, How Living with Less Can Lead to So Much More. She launched her blog, Be More with Less, in 2010 and is one of the top bloggers in the world on the subject of minimalism. She's been featured in countless articles, podcasts, and interviews on simplicity, and she's the creator of the Minimalist Fashion Challenge, Project 333, which was featured in O Magazine and Real Simple.
So before discussing your book, Courtney, I want to jump into your work history, because I think a lot of our satisfaction with life has to do with the joy we find in being able to do what we have a passion for. And yours was being creative, and you went to the fine arts school to become a photographer of people and important events and beauties of nature. So what made you decide to enter a profession for 20 years that was driven by selling luxury items and making commissions?
Yes, I abandoned my love of art and the idea that I might be able to do that as a career for a paycheck. I was very good at sales and got into it shortly after college because I was in so much debt. Even in my early 20s, I was deep in debt, and I had to prioritize the paycheck. And so I went into advertising, sales, and marketing and started paying off my debt. But as soon as I started to make some money, I realized that buying more things was more appealing than just working on the debt. And so it really grew into this kind of vicious circle where I was contributing to my debt and having to work harder to maintain that lifestyle.
And that sure was stressful. And can you also tell us about the wake-up call that you got when you were in your job of selling, that you got in 2006? What happened that drastically changed your life and your philosophy?
It really did change everything for me. So it was after months of debilitating fatigue and vertigo and tingling in my hands, numbness in my face, and months of visits to different doctors and specialists, that I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I realized that this was my wake-up call, my enough-is-enough moment, and things had to change. I couldn't keep running at an unsustainable pace and treating myself the way I had been.
And you said that the reasons that you were able to change successfully and be healthier, happier, and under less stress, and really grow in the work you did has not been due to motivation, determination, skill, or luck. And that's kind of surprising, I think, for a lot of people to hear. So what do you think enabled you to make such a positive change in your life? And I was a little surprised at it, but you know what? I think you were right on.
Well, I hope we're on the same page. There were a couple of things that I think attributed the way I was able to change. One is that I started listening to myself and reconnecting with who I am and trusting that I know what's best for me and really understanding why I wanted to make these changes. So instead of just making them because I thought I was supposed to or someone told me I should, I was deeply invested from the inside out. And secondly, I decided to make big change small. So instead of trying to accomplish something that was way out of my reach or try to fix everything overnight, I decided to break everything down into the tiniest steps possible and just work on things a little bit each day instead of, again, trying to be this overnight success story.
And makes a lot of sense. And you also said that what helped you was doing some of the things you didn't want to do, things that were making you feel uncomfortable. And that's a really tough thing to do, but I realized that you were so on target when you said that.
Yeah, once I realized that I had to do things I didn't want to do so that I could do the things I wanted to do, it made it much easier. So if I wanted to be healthy, if I really did want to be healthy, I was going to have to eliminate some of the stressful foods from my diet and eat more greens, more kale, stuff that I really didn't want to eat. So I made that big change small and just had a tablespoon of greens at every meal. Which sounds like it wouldn't make a big difference, but it wasn't about making a big difference in the beginning. It was just about establishing a new habit.
And all the new habits that you started, such as yoga, you started out in small ways. Is that right, to begin with?
I did, yeah. When I started, I had been to a couple of yoga classes, and I really wanted to feel the way I felt at the end of a yoga practice, but at home when I didn't have time to go to a yoga class. And so I started doing yoga just for 5 minutes at a time. And sure enough, it did grow into a larger practice. But even right from the get-go, you know, those 5 minutes were me saying, I'm important. And this makes me feel good. And so I'm going to do it every morning. And that will be enough for right now.
And while you were still working, selling advertising, which was, I think, very smart because you start something new, it takes time for it to grow. And you started a blog, BeMoreWithLess.com. What was that like, and were you surprised at its success worldwide?
Well, for starters, it was a great joy of mine. I loved and still do love writing for this blog and growing a community of like-hearted people, like just the best people I've connected with through this medium. So it has really been an incredible experience for me. But like you said, I did start it while I was still working another job because I needed to make money to pay bills, to take care of my family. But the more that I wrote for the blog about my experiences and what I was thinking, the more I knew that this was going to be, I was going to have to leave my job because it really didn't support the values that I had, and that was becoming very important to me. So it was really a great way to ease out of that job.
And can you tell our listeners about the project that you started once you had your blog? And I believe the project is 333 or 333, but it became a real-world phenomenon. So can you tell our listeners briefly about it?
Sure. So I started Minimalist Fashion Challenge Project 333 as a personal experiment because my closet was so out of control and I was so overwhelmed by all of the choices and all of the spending I had done in there. And so I committed to myself and the internet to dress with 33 items or less for 3 months, including clothing, jewelry, accessories, and shoes. And the idea really took off. People got very interested in it. And today, it's been now 9 years, tens of thousands of people from all over the world have tried Project 333 and are discovering the joys of dressing with less.
And why do you think that you loved, as so many women do, to shop? Why is it that we get into that sometimes and find it difficult to get out of it?
I think we shop because we're in pain. And I know that's sounds like a reach. Sometimes we shop because we need something, but that habit of shopping to get a little lift or a little joy, it's really because we're in pain. And it might be the pain of boredom, or disappointment, or being overwhelmed, but we just want a little relief, and so we go shopping. But I've discovered that when we're feeling those feelings, our bodies aren't saying, hey, take me shopping. It's saying, take care of me. So trading shopping for self-care not only fills that time, but it really eases the pain in a much more profound way.
And as you say a number of times, and I think it's so important that you say it a number of times, the changes that will make us feel less stressed and have better relationships with our family and the world really have to come from the inside out. And I think we often try to do it the other way, thinking we can have things from the outside really make us happy.
Yes, definitely has to come from the inside. I mean, otherwise, none of the changes that we're making on the outside will last or make any difference unless we're invested from the inside out.
And you found with your physical disease, multiple sclerosis, that really simplifying your life really, really helped you feel better. And did you also find out that when you have a physical disease, you need not only traditional medicine, but you need to make your lifestyle changes from the inside?
Agree. I think that it's a very personal decision in terms of what conventional treatment you might use, but without the lifestyle component, I don't think that medicine really can stand on its own. I think you have to make other adjustments in your life if you want that full recovery.
And Courtney, how can our listeners get your book, So Simplicity, How Living with Less Can Lead to So Much More? And what is the best way to get in touch with you if they want to learn more about how to make their lives simpler and use their freed up time to be healthier and happier? Do you have a website that they can go to be in touch with you?
Yes. So the book is available where most books are sold, so local bookstores, Amazon, and other places. And they can connect on my website, bemorewithless.com, or on Instagram, @bemorewithless.
That's Courtney Carver, the author of Soulful Simplicity, How Living with Less Can Lead to So Much More. The interview was conducted by the host of our show, Carol Marks. Coming up next, Carol Marks will speak with Carol Levine, who directs the Families and Healthcare Project at the United Hospital Fund in New York. That's next, when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain. What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Call 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK. That's 855-730-BACK.
Where do you want to go on a vacation or honeymoon? The Caribbean, Europe, Hawaii, Mexico? How about Disney or a cruise? At Superior Cruise and Travel, we've got you covered. We'll assign you your own travel concierge. They'll help you design a custom vacation plan that you can't find online. And the service is completely free. You can't compare the value of this to any other online travel company. We can help you plan a custom vacation anywhere in the world. We even offer payment plans with no credit card required. Now you pay off your vacation on your time schedule. Call now and mention the promo code RADIO and save up to $500. Book your custom trip. Call Superior Cruise and Travel now and talk to one of the highest rated travel agencies in the country with a 5-star A+ online rating.
800-647-4808. 800-647-4808. 800-647-4808. That's 800-647-4808.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivors' benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivors' benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Let's get back to the program. Here's our host, Carol Marks, in conversation with Carol Levine. Carol Levine directs the Families and Healthcare Project at the United Hospital Fund in New York. She's an expert on aging, health, long-term care, and family caregiving, and writes on those topics for both professional and consumer audiences. Her book is titled Navigating Your Later Years for Dummies, written in association with AARP.
Both AARP and I, and Ann Wiley, who's the publisher of the Dummies books, wanted something that spoke directly to the person who is getting a little older, thinking about the future, and covers a wide range of topics. Most of the books that I know, and there, some of them are really good, but they often start with money, which is, I certainly know that it's important, but it's not the only thing. And I wanted to start with the person. What's important to you? What is important with your family? How do you want to live? Those are the things that you need to talk about before you look into all the complicated financial issues that those choices involve.
Absolutely. Now, can you tell our listeners how your book is organized? Because the way it's organized makes it very helpful, and you just don't have to read the chapters in order, and I find that great.
Yes, well, the book is organized in a way that I think makes it easy. This is complicated stuff, so it's not something that you pick up and say, oh, I've read chapter one, now I'll go on to chapter two, unless you're that kind of a reader. It's organized in a way that the most, to me, and this is the author, just not everybody, every reader, the most important part is part one. It's getting started. And even within that, to me, the most important chapter is chapter two, which is to take a personal inventory of yourself, your partner if you have one, your family, your attitudes, your health care needs at the moment or that you can foresee, and your attitudes, for example, about money. Not just how much do you have, but how do you feel about spending it? It's important to sort of take stock of yourself. And I think once you've done that, some of the choices that come up in the next part, which is choosing where to live, and then part three is about legal and financial planning, which is certainly very important. I got a call this morning from my financial planner saying, it's the beginning of the year, we need to talk. So, I mean, that's important. Managing your health care. And then there's an important part, which is services for special groups. And there I have LGBT elders and veterans, which have, you know, a separate set of services for veterans.
Right, and we usually don't hear specifically about services for veterans, so I was so glad that you were in there. And also in your book, Carol, one of the things that you write about that I think will really strike people is a chapter you have about some of the myths about aging.
Yes.
And one of them addresses long-term care, which most of us are going to experience ourselves or be in charge of somebody's health care.
Right.
And don't you, and what I found was so interesting was that you really know about the political and personal challenges of caregiving because you took care of your husband.
Right.
Every night after working a job every day until he entered a nursing home and passed away. How in the world were you able to accomplish two jobs like that?
Well, the answer is one day at a time. But the real answer is I had, during the day, I had excellent home care aides. I had men who took, not that women can't do this, but most home care aides are women, but I had men who were studying to be doctors. And so this was a job that they could take some time during the day and study. It was not every moment was just they had to be there because my husband was in a hospital bed. He was not able to get around by himself. So the aides made the daytime possible, and they set everything up for the night. So I did have help. But the other part was my life was my work was very important to me. To give up my work would have meant so much of a loss that having really lost the companionship of my husband, I did not want to lose the importance of my work. So to me, it worked out day by day. Not that there were not problems, I won't say that, but it was the only way I could do it. And, you know, for 17 years, I did it.
That's Carol Levine in conversation with our host, Carol Marks. Her book is titled Negotiating Your Later Years for Dummies, which she wrote in association with AARP. We'll continue this conversation between Carol Levine and Carol Marks when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain. What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Call 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK. That's 855-730-BACK.
Hi, this is Michael Harrison. I hope you're enjoying this installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, and finding it to be a meaningful listening experience. This wonderful little weekend program has been on the radio across America in one form or another for more than 20 years. Its mission is to provide mature Americans with information and content about aging to help them cope with the nonstop challenges of life during these hectic modern times. We're talking about health, finances, relationships, and plain old fun. Whether it's learning about the latest technology and social norms, or fondly remembering yesterday's arts and entertainment, A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, is dedicated to serving that gigantic segment of the population so sadly ignored by most of today's popular media. Founded and hosted by a truly great lady, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the ongoing battle against ageism, this program is geared to what has commonly been referred to as the sandwich generation. Baby boomers who are coping with such challenges as still supporting their adult children while caring for their elderly parents. It's my honor and privilege to be associated with Carol Marks and be a part of her mission to support, defend, and inspire today's generation of what she lovingly calls seasoned citizens. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, online at www.atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. And right here on this great radio station every weekend. Thank you so much for listening.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivors' benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivors' benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Michael Harrison here. Those of you who follow talk radio and are interested in what goes on behind the scenes might also know me as the publisher of Talkers Magazine, the trade publication that serves the talk media industry. We cover the talk show business as it exists on radio, television, and the internet. I often have the opportunity to speak about these media as a guest on radio and TV talk shows or comment on industry developments in newspapers and magazines. For the past 3 years, I've also hosted a weekly podcast that features interviews with fascinating people from a variety of fields and walks of life. It's designed to be enjoyed by media freaks, pop culture aficionados, political junkies, and the philosophically curious. Recent guests include such interesting folks as former U.S. Senator Joe Lieberman, Richard Nixon's grandson Christopher Nixon Cox, Alex Jones, Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, Deepak Chopra, Dr. Alan Stern, the principal investigator of NASA's New Horizons Pluto mission, radio broadcasters Sean Hannity, Mike Francesa, and Joe Piscopo, and legendary WWE ring announcer Lillian Garcia. How's that for variety? Each week, I interview outstanding personalities from the world of radio or any number of its related fields in the arts, science, entertainment, politics, or academia. It's available to download, and you can subscribe to it at absolutely no charge whatsoever at Apple Podcasts or at the website mhinterview.com. The Michael Harrison Interview. Just a click away on your computer or mobile device. Visit Apple Podcasts or mhinterview.com. Make the Michael Harrison Interview a weekly podcast listening experience. This week on the Michael Harrison Interview, you'll hear an exclusive conversation with Epoch Times investigative reporter Joshua Phillip talking about the relationship between the U.S. and China.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain. What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Call 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK. That's 855-730-BACK.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Let's get back to the conversation between the host of our show, Carol Marks, and Kara Levine, author of Navigating Your Later Years for Dummies, written in association with AARP.
And looking back at the many years you spent caring for your husband, what do you wish you had known but didn't when you first had to start helping him after his auto accident, which left him with brain injuries? Aren't there two federal programs, and I bet a lot of people haven't heard about them, like the National Family Caregiver Support Program and the Respite Care Act of,
right,
of 1906.
Right.
So what do they do, and what's a good way to be able to get in touch with them?
Well, I would say the entry point, there are two kinds of entry points. One is the National Elder Care Locator, and that you can find online, and it's a federal help agency that will direct you to your local area agency on aging, which can direct you to things in your community. So that's a really, that's a kind of the best place to start. But your state, every state has an office for the aging or an office for health and human services, and they often have programs that are supported by those two, the National Family Caregiver Support Program and the Respite Program. So that's a more local way of going about it. And I would say that if you're a caregiver, has a specific disease like Alzheimer's or another dementia or like cancer or Parkinson's, there are disease organizations that have local chapters that can be very helpful. Now, all of these places provide information, they provide referrals, they provide support, they provide really incredibly important services. What they don't provide is money. They don't, you know, the money that you need is going to have to come from someplace else. There are some places where family caregivers can get paid, some states, but that's a difficult process. So I would look to these agencies for services that will help you and help the person you're caring for, but it's not going to provide, say, an aide in your home during the day.
You are unfortunately so right. And another myth that you talked about, the fact that Americans dump their older relatives in nursing homes, and the truth is about 1.5 million people, or 4.5% of the U.S. population over 65 are residents in one of the nation's 15,000 nursing homes, and they only operate at about 85% of capacity. So why does this particular myth exist?
Well, I think it exists for the same reason that other myths that if I named them, you would know more about me than I feel compelled to share. But they exist because people like a certain belief system that supports what they think. In other words, they would say things like, well, those people put their old people in nursing homes. I would never do that. You know, people like me would never do that. So it supports a view of yourself, and it supports a view of other people. And it's a kind of way of even people who are fine at the end, or at some point they can no longer care for someone at home, they feel guilty. And so this myth supports that guilt. So there are no factual reasons, no rational reasons for people to believe this, but it does exist. And it does, I think, cast a shadow on people who, for understandable reasons, find they can no longer care for someone at home. Nursing homes are closing. I mean, because the government and people want to be in their own homes and in their own communities. So it's a trend that has been happening, but somehow the myth has not caught up with it.
And another very interesting topic that you address in your book was the fact, as we just mentioned, nursing homes. But a lot of people are going into assisted living. And what's the difference between the way they are regulated by federal and state governments, and why is that important for people to know what some of those differences are?
Well, nursing homes are highly regulated, both by the federal government and by state governments. They're regulated in terms of the kinds of professional credentials that have to be of the people who staff these places. They're regulated in terms of what they can and cannot do. That doesn't mean that there can't be problems in nursing homes, believe me. But basically there are whole sets of regulations that nursing homes have to live up to. Assisted living is a different kind of animal. It is not a nursing home. It is not a health care facility. So it is regulated in states by the kind of building codes. You have to have, you know, fire exits. You have to have certain electrical things. It's not regulated in terms of what the kinds of services are. And therefore, there's no regulations that I know of that requires certain patterns of staffing, certain healthcare facility arrangements. And so some of them are very good, and some of them are basically, you know, like motels. And they're increasingly, one of the problems has been that they offer memory care facilities, but they're not staffed by people who understand how to take care of someone with a cognitive problem, a dementia problem. So I think people who are looking into either nursing homes or assisted living need to do a very thorough job of research about those facilities before they sign up for it. But I think looking at assisted living, it really is best for people who are basically independent. They're not going to have to, you know, clean the gutters and mow the lawn. They're going to have housekeeping taken care of, but they're not going to get health care there. So it's a different sort of system. And one of the problems is that you can go into assisted living with, you know, being independent, and then 10 years later, you're not. And then that can be a problem. There are continuing care communities where the different level, you can move from one level to another. But again, it's a question of doing very good research and planning, thinking ahead. What might it be like 5 years from now?
Can you talk a little bit about what I think has been some of the problems in the past and still are for both new caregivers and long-term caregivers, family caregivers, that they're not given all the information they need when a loved one is being discharged from an acute hospital setting to a rehab facility or a nursing home? So does your organization, United Health Fund Family and Healthcare Project, have a website where listeners can learn, get some free resources that will detail the most up-to-date information on ways to make their other elderly people that are in their family get through life a whole lot smoother?
Yes. Thank you, Carol, for mentioning that. And as it happens, I can talk a little more. It's not in the book because it's happened just now, but we at United Hospital Fund, although we're not connected to any hospitals, it's a kind of a hangover from the 19th century. We've just completed a project, and I was not the lead on it, but we and a colleague and I did a series of interviews with patients and family caregivers who had made the transition from hospital to a short-term nursing home for rehab, and what they were told and what they found and the experiences they had. And we have on our Next Step in Care website, United Hospital Fund's website, is a series of guides about transitions and things about navigating the healthcare system. So what we found was that the decision, you know, you're in the hospital, you had a hip replacement, or you had some kind of a procedure, or you fell and, you know, bumped your head, and now the nurse says, and now we're going to send you to a rehab center. We're going to send you to a nursing home, they say, for rehab. And you said, whoa, and here's a list of 12, pick one, because you have to go tomorrow. So, I mean, people are just stunned that they don't have time to do that kind of research. So they really need to be thinking about that at a point when they're not in an immediate crisis situation. And what we found is that the hospital staff don't give the kind of information that people want about what is rehab, why are you calling it a nursing home, am I going to live there forever? The answer is no. It's a section of a nursing home or it's a separate facility. And you have to find out about the quality of the care, what's provided, what are the services that are available to you, where is it located, all of those things. You can find out where it's located, that's easy, but not about the quality of the services. And there are websites. There's a Nursing Home Compare, which is a Medicare website. States have comparative quality ratings, but they don't tell you what you really need to know. So somebody in the family has got to go and make a visit and talk to the people and say, this is the situation for my mother, me, or whoever, you know, my husband. Can you take care of him? And then hope that you can get a bed in that place. It's a very complicated situation. And we've really learned how difficult it is for people to get the information they need. So this is a new report, and it's on the United Hospital Fund website, UHFNYC.org.
Unfortunately, hopefully it's going to result in there being more programs as in the earliest part of discharge, perhaps when they to tell patients all these things that they don't know when they really have a chance to absorb them, because you hear too much information. I know that personally at one time. It really can't all sink in.
Yes. It's easy to say to somebody, think ahead. I know very well how hard it is to think ahead, but you can, if you talk to someone, you talk to people in your peer group, or you talk to people in your family, so that at least you get a sense of what you hear from the stories, and I hear the stories all the time, is what can go wrong. So what you want to ask is, what would you have wanted to know? What would have made it better so that you don't make the same mistakes that other people do? Now, there's no guarantee, but throughout the book, Navigating Your Later Years for Dummies, I always recommend speaking to a trusted healthcare or legal or financial professional, someone who has your interests at heart, who is not, you know, who will give you fair and accurate advice, because a lot of times the kind of advice you can find online on Yelp or Google, it may be helpful, but it's also, you know, one person's view, and that person may have had a very good experience or a very bad experience, and that's not typical. So do some homework, think about it, and plan things out as best you can. And then, you know, relax about it. You've done a good job.
Absolutely.
That's the best part, is that take it off your to-do list.
Now, do you have a website for your organization that people can go to?
Yes, it's www.nextstepincare.org. And it's all one word, nextstepincare.org. And everything on it is free, and everything on it is for families and patients is in four languages, English, Spanish, Chinese, and Russian. And if you have among your, I'm sure, very large audience, healthcare professionals like social workers or care managers, there's a whole separate set of guides for them. So it's a lot of material. It's all been written in ways that are very easy to understand. A health literacy expert has reviewed everything. And it doesn't answer every single question, but it will give you the basics. And also the book will give you the basics and direct you to other sources of information.
That's Carol Levine in conversation with our very own Carol Marks. Her book is titled Navigating Your Later Years for Dummies, that she wrote in association with AARP. Coming up next, Meg McDonald in another installment of the very popular feature, Meg. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great talk radio station.
Where do you want to go on a vacation or honeymoon? The Caribbean, Europe, Hawaii, Mexico? How about Disney or a cruise? At Superior Cruise and Travel, we've got you covered. We'll assign you your own travel concierge. They'll help you design a custom vacation plan that you can't find online. And the service is completely free. You can't compare the value of this to any other online travel company. We can help you plan a custom vacation anywhere in the world. We even offer payment plans with no credit card required. Now you pay off your vacation on your time schedule. Call now and mention the promo code RADIO and save up to $500. Book your custom trip. Call Superior Cruise and Travel now and talk to one of the highest rated travel agencies in the country with a 5-star A-plus online rating.
800-647-4808. 800-647-4808. 800-647-4808. That's 800-647-4808.
Bernadette Duncan spent 26 years as a radio talk show producer. In her new book, Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, she shares her adventures in the trenches of big-time talk radio during the changing backdrop of America's pre- and post-9/11 realities. This exciting story includes Bernadette's impressions of the quirky celebrity talk show hosts whom she served during her career, Larry King, Sally Jesse Raphael, Gil Gross, Tom Snyder, Lou Dobbs, Charles Osgood, and more. It's full of anecdotes about hundreds of high-profile guests from media, show business, and politics. Also quirky, ego-driven, and neurotic. Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers. An analytical look at the media, journalism, and the complex nature of ego. Get it now at Amazon.com.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now for a no-cost MRI review and to learn more. It's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain. What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Call 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK, 855-730-BACK. That's 855-730-BACK.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison, and the anchor chair, as we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast. In the background, we hear the sound of Cream, real baby boomer memory indeed, back in the late 60s, Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, Jack Bruce, and a whole lot of memories indeed. What a great name, Cream. And they were cream as in the cream rises to the top, or another use of the word cream as in cream of the crop. Here now is the ever-popular Meg McDonald. The feature is called Meg, and she's going to talk about her observation of stuff, kicking off from the concept of cream.
I like cream. Face cream, body cream, hand cream. I don't like cream in my coffee, but that's another kind of cream. I'm a big hand cream user. I have bottles strategically placed around the house for ease of access. There's one in the living room, the bedroom, bathroom, and downstairs in the office. Sometimes I make the mistake of using hand cream just before leaving the house, and then I can't get a grip on the doorknob, so I have to frantically rub my hands together to accelerate the absorption. Well, the other day I was in the living room, and my hands felt dry, so I sat down on the couch, leaned over to the bottle of hand cream on the end table, put my right hand under the spout, and press the pump with my left hand, commanding that creamy white lotion of moisture relief to squirt into my palm, but instead I heard, I shook the bottle side to side, turned it upside down, and pressed the pump again, and nothing came out. I unscrew the top and look inside, and I can see there's lotion down there. but the tube is too short to reach it. Consumer Reports actually weighed what remains in the bottle when this happens, and they discovered about 17 to 25% of the lotion still remains. This little irritant happens all the time with opaque bottles, and we're always surprised. Oh no, I thought this bottle would be different, that finally the manufacturer decided to put in a longer tube. But they haven't, and probably won't. Friends of mine have a similar situation with liquid hand soap. There's still soap in the bottle, but the tube won't reach it. So they pour water in the bottle and shake it, which gives them more soap. You're going to mix the soap with water anyhow, so it works out well. But you can't do that with hand cream. So we're left trying to pour one partial bottle into another, which is a slow go. I think hand cream is cousin to ketchup. I mentioned my irritation to a group of friends, and one suggested the tube has to be that short so it can create a suction area to force the lotion up the tube. I don't know. As I'm talking with you, I'm looking at clear bottles of hand sanitizer and liquid body shower gel, and both tubes are touching the bottom of the bottle. So why don't opaque hand cream bottles use longer tubes? Call me wild and crazy, but I think it's because they want us to buy more product so they can make more money.
Thank you, Meg. Meg McDonald with our regular feature Meg here on A Touch of Gray. If you'd like to binge listen to Meg, you can at www.talkerslive.com. Plenty of Meg McDonald there for your listening delectation. Thank you, Dwayne Doobie Jr., our producer on the front line, and a huge thank you to the host and founder of our program, the great Carol Marks. On behalf of all of us here, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, inviting you to join us right here next weekend on this great radio station for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.